Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, good morning and welcome to the conference call interim report third quarter 2017. We have here Harald Krüger, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Nicolas Peter, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG in charge of finance. The gentleman will start by giving you an overview of business development. After that, you'll be given time for your questions as always. I'll pass the floor to Mr. Krüger.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. To us, our priority is the long-term perspective. For this reason, we're investing substantially in all relevant future areas of mobility. At the same time, we're maintaining a balance between the key indicators, sales growth, profitability, and investment. We show the direction we're taking the company at this year's motor show in Frankfurt, to become a technology company for premium mobility and services. Our current focus is on e-mobility and autonomous driving. In both of these areas, we're concentrating and expanding expertise at our home base in Germany. From here, we will drive the transformation of our industry with our innovations. All our actions for the future are built on a strong foundation of sustained profitability. That is what differentiates us from new and established competitors in the automotive sector. In a complex environment, we continue to chart our own course. Ladies and gentlemen, there are two topics I'd like to focus on today: our business development for the current year and our progress in implementing strategy number one next. Let's start with our performance. What did we achieve in the period between January and September 2017? Group pre-tax earnings climbed to nearly 8.5 billion euros. For the 13th consecutive quarter, our EBIT margin in the automotive segment has remained within our target range of 8 to 10%. At group level, the EBT margin for the year to the end of September stood at 11.7%. These figures show that our products and services are in strong demand. More than 1.8 million customers bought a BMW Group vehicle in the year to the end of September. Our BMW Mini and BMW Motorrad brands each reported new all-time nine-month highs. BMW, more than 1.5 million vehicles. Mini, more than 270,000 vehicles. BMW Motorrad, more than 127,000 motorcycles and maxi scooters. Rolls-Royce sold 2,343 cars and therefore did not match last year's level. As you know, the Phantom did not have full availability this year. At the annual accounts press conference in March, I announced the biggest model initiative in our history. 40 new and or revised BMW, Mini and Rolls-Royce models this year and next. And we're delivering on this. For the BMW brand, we are renewing and expanding our highly successful X family. The third generation of the BMW X3 will be available as of mid-November. For the first time, we'll also be offering an M-Performance version. From spring of next year, the X3 will also be produced in South Africa and from summer 2018 also in China. China is by far the most important market for this model alongside the US. The BMW X2 will follow in 2018. Its new and individual look breaks the mold. This model is not just new, the X2 is also different and is incredibly cool. We're sure that it will appeal to young trendsetters. At the end of 2018, the BMW X7 will go into production. We presented the concept vehicle at the IAA. This vehicle will strengthen our offering in the luxury class. With its large surfaces and sharp lines, it also provides a glimpse of our future design. We have sold a total of more than 5.4 million X models since 1999. X models currently account for more than a third of BMW X sales. We will continue this success story with our new and additional X models. From November, the BMW M5 will complete the new BMW 5 Series range. The BMW's fastest series production model will offer all the benefits of a business sedan. With individual vehicles like the new BMW 6 Series Gran Turismo, we will also occupy important niche markets and win over new customer groups. This model will also be launched this month. The new Z4 concept has been very well received by the media. We will be presenting the series production model next year. We highlighted the full range of the Mini brand at the Frankfurt Motor Show, from the sportiest Mini of all time, the John Cooper Works GB concept, to the Mini Electric concept. As an urban brand, Mini has always been destined for e-mobility. This is demonstrated by the first Mini plug-in hybrid. We've sold more than 2,700 electrified Countryman cars since June. at Rolls-Royce, delivery of the new Phantom will begin in January 2018, before we had a large number of pre-orders. The eighth generation of the Phantom is the pinnacle of luxury. Every detail can be customized to the owner's individual taste. At BMW Motorrad, the new K1600B and the new G310GS are now available, following the wave of new models in spring. Our model initiative with all brands is part of our strategy number one next. That brings me to my second point, our progress in implementing strategy number one next. In e-mobility, we're concentrating on three main areas: electrification of our lineup, expansion of charging infrastructure, and enabling our production network. With electrification, we're already ramping up phase two. Right now, there are more than 180,000 electrified BMW Group vehicles on roads all over the world. At the end of October, I was at the Leipzig plant to celebrate the production of the 100,000th BMW i3. In the year to the end of September, we sold a total of more than 68,600 electric vehicles. This was more than in the whole of 2016 and reflects an increase of over 64%. This means we're on track to meet our goal of selling 100,000 vehicles with electrified drivetrains this year. BMW remains the clear number one in plug-in hybrids in the premium segment. The new BMW 5 Series iPerformance is especially popular. In some markets, it accounts for a third of BMW 5 Series sedan sales. We will offer 25 electrified models in 2025, and 12 of them purely electric. Our BMW i family will become even better with the introduction of attractive new models. We have added yet another variant for the i3, the sporty BMW i3S. This will be followed by the emotional BMW i8 Roadster as a plug-in hybrid in 2018. Our BMW iVision Dynamics will take e-mobility to a new dimension with a range of up to 600 kilometers. The media has been very positive about this four-door Grand Coupe. To enable the wide-scale rollout of e-mobility, we're working to expand charging infrastructure. We have formed a joint venture with other manufacturers to create a rapid charging infrastructure across Europe. ChargeNow is currently the world's largest public charging service. By the end of 2017, customers will have access to more than 130,000 charging points. The technological shift towards sustainable mobility is not proceeding at the same pace and with the same intensity in all regions of the world. That is why we're also aligning our global production network to this development. We're creating flexible architectures and we're using modular kits. This will give us the flexibility to build electric drivetrains, plug-in hybrids and efficient combustion engines at our plants based on demand from 2020 on. Germany plays a key role for us as a manufacturing location for e-mobility. The BMW iVision Dynamics will be built at our plant in Munich. Our new technology flagship, the BMW iNext, will be manufactured in Dingolfing. Our second major focus topic, in addition to electrification, is autonomous driving. We're also making rapid progress in this area. At our campus in Unterschleißheim near Munich, our first 500 employees are already working together with colleagues from Intel and Mobileye. Other strong partners, Fiat Chrysler, Automobiles, Delphi, Continental and Magna, are helping enhance our open platform for autonomous driving. Leaps in technology demand appropriate structures and, not least, a future mindset among all employees. With the expansion of our FITS Research and Innovation Center in Munich, we will have an innovative working environment for 5,000 employees by 2019. We've recently launched our new project, FITS Future, which will create completely new working environments there by 2050. We're already using new work methods, such as Scrum or Lean Development in development in IT, to support our transformation into a high-tech company and boost our profitability. Ladies and gentlemen, after the first 9 months of the current financial year, we're confident of meeting our targets for 2017. We're targeting new all-time highs for deliveries and group earnings before tax. In the automotive segment, the EBIT margin should remain within our target range. However, it is also clear that the business environment is still marked to a large extent by volatility and uncertainty. In all markets, there's fierce competition for every customer and every leasing contract. And on the political side, there are many unknown factors. The outcome of the Brexit negotiations between the European Union and the UK, further developments in the Middle East, just to name a few. And from the new German government, we would welcome open and constructive discussions regarding important future topics. It is in all our interests to enable Germany to pioneer new technologies. In talking to analysts and investors at the Frankfurt Motor Show, we received a lot of positive feedback on strategy number one next and our model initiative. People recognize that we are tackling the relevant challenges and coming up with viable solutions. The price of BMW common stock has reflected this over the past few weeks. I firmly believe that the BMW Group will not just be part of the industry's transformation, we will lead it. That's the expectation we have set ourselves. That is why we've increased the pace with e-mobility and autonomous driving. And we will continue to take a global long-term view. We remain committed to free and fair global trade. It guarantees prosperity and progress. No one should underestimate the capabilities of our company, nor our commitment to the next phase of the auto industry's development. We remain profitable. We're highly flexible. We're taking advantage of all opportunities. We're leading the way in new technologies. This is how we're creating the future. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Krüger. Now, Dr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from me as well. The BMW Group enters the final quarter with strong financial figures. We have set the right course. After the first 9 months, we are on track to meet our guidance for the full year. We achieve our business goals and at the same time invest strongly in the future. Both in our automotive business and at group level, we've increased our earnings for the first 9 months. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment for the year to the end of September stood at 9.1%. Group earnings before tax climbed by 9.6% to 8.48 billion euros. Deliveries worldwide grew by 3.7% up to the end of September. We are targeting profitable growth and an optimal balance between sales volume and earnings in all regions. In China, we did well with both our BBA joint venture and imported vehicles. Sales in Europe increased slightly in the first 9 months of the year. In the US, the auto market contracted further in the year to the end of September. We remain 100% committed to our principle of profitability before volume. Our goals for the full year remain ambitious. One of our key high-volume models, the new BMW X3, will be launched in the fourth quarter. Furthermore, the new BMW 5 Series is now fully available. The revised model of our successful BMW i3 and the sporty i3S will also strengthen our broad lineup of electrified vehicles starting in November. Our strategy is successful. We're taking advantage of the momentum from our attractive product portfolio and the flexibility of our global presence. At the same time, we're making our core business even more efficient. We are taking complexity out of our product and service offering for our customers, and we sharpen our focus on what's essential. This will enable us to pursue our goal of being a leader in important future technologies. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look at our financial figures in detail. Group revenues for the third quarter were on par with last year at 23.42 billion euros despite being dampened somewhat by currency headwinds. Revenues for the first 9 months climbed by 5% to 72.67 billion euros. As announced earlier, higher R&D costs in the third quarter slowed earnings growth compared with the first half of the year. Group pre-tax earnings for the third quarter totaled 2.42 billion euros. The figure for the first 9 months increased by 9.6% to €8.48 billion, as already mentioned. Despite high upfront investments, the EBT margin for the third quarter was 10.3%. Therefore, the BMW Group remains one of the most profitable vehicle manufacturers worldwide. We continue to make the necessary preparations for the challenges of our industry that we will face in the future. The company invested a total of €2.82 billion in equipment and products in the first 9 months of the year. This represents a significant increase of over €800 million compared to the previous year. The CAPEX ratio stood at 3.9%. Research and development expenditure for the first 9 months increased to €4.06 billion, surpassing last year's figure by over €700 million. As announced, the R&D ratio for the year to the end of September rose by 5.6%. We recently opened our new campus for autonomous driving near Munich. Here, up to 2,000 engineers will be working on future mobility. In addition, we're investing around €400 million for the expansion of our research and innovation center, FITS. By 2019, around 5,000 employees will be working in this creative environment. We're also continuing to forge ahead with electric mobility. We now offer customers a total of 9 electrified models, battery, electric or plug-in hybrids. The BMW 5 Series and the Mini Countryman are two additional high-volume models with plug-in hybrid drivetrains we've just successfully launched, and further projects are in the pipeline. This shows the BMW Group is on the leading edge in the field of electromobility. We have the broadest range of electrified vehicles in the premium segment. Moreover, we're systematically investing in increasing the flexibility of our production network and expanding charging infrastructure. Ladies and gentlemen, that was an overview of the group's performance. Let's now take a closer look at our automotive segment. In the third quarter, the BMW Group sold more than 590,000 BMW, Mini and Rolls-Royce vehicles. Sales were therefore 1.2% higher. Between January and September, deliveries increased by 3.7% to 1.81 million vehicles. In the first 9 months, segment revenues rose by 2.3% to €64.71 billion. Third quarter revenues totaled €21.04 billion. Revenue development was dampened slightly by currency headwinds. In the third quarter, the automotive EBIT, that's earnings from our operating business, stood at €1.75 billion. The EBIT margin for the same period was 8.3%. As previously announced, high expenditures for research and development and strategic projects are increasingly reflected in the third quarter results. As in the first two quarters, R&D expenses were above the previous year. In the third quarter alone, it increased by €164 million compared to 2016. Other operating expenses included additions to provisions for legal disputes and other litigation risks. These are not related to the recent antitrust review by the EU Commission. Competition worldwide remains as intense as ever. We're constantly working to achieve the right balance between profitability and volume. The financial result for the year to the end of September improved to €682 million. This was mainly due to positive valuation effects in the first quarter and the strong performance of the BMW Brilliance Automotive joint venture in China. The financial result for the third quarter totaled €127 million. Let's take a brief look at the segment's cash flow. Despite the high level of investment mentioned above, free cash flow continued to be strong in the third quarter. In the first 9 months of the year, it amounted to €2.70 billion. Free cash flow for the full year is expected to total more than €3 billion. The financial services segment also performed well between January and September. Almost 1.37 million new contracts were concluded with retail customers in the first nine months. This represents a slight increase of 2.0% over the previous year, mainly due to growth in credit financing in China. Around 435,000 new leasing and financing contracts were concluded in the third quarter. As of 30 September 2017, the financial services segment maintained a total of almost 4.95 million contracts with the retail customers. That's 5.2% more than at the end of 2016. The penetration rate for the first nine months stood at 46.7%. This means that nearly half of the new BMW Group vehicles are either leased or financed by the financial services segment. The percentage of leasing contracts is trending downwards slightly, due in part to a lower leasing penetration in the U.S. In the year to the end of September, pre-tax earnings for the segment climbed by 9.3% to 1.79 billion euros. The risk situation remained mostly unchanged from the previous year. The credit loss ratio of 0.3% for the entire credit portfolio is still at the same low level as last year. On the international used car markets, the situation was largely stable in the third quarter. We're continuing to monitor trends for used vehicles with diesel engines very closely. The financial services segment follows a comprehensive, proactive approach to risk management and has made adequate provisions. Let's move on to the motorcycle segment. BMW Motorrad continues to perform well with a strong sales increase of 10.1% to almost 128,000 units in the first three quarters. In Europe, sales development has been very positive so far this year. France and Italy both reported double-digit growth. Despite a drop in the overall market, deliveries in Germany saw a solid increase. Sales development in China also remained very dynamic. Segment revenues rose by 11.1% between January and September, in line with general sales development, to reach 1.83 billion euros. Third quarter revenues totaled 514 million euros. The EBIT for the year to the end of September climbed by 25.9% to 282 million euros, while third quarter EBIT reached 53 million euros. The EBIT margin for the first nine months was 15.4%. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to turn to the outlook for the full year. With the current uncertainty surrounding political and economic developments worldwide, the fourth quarter will also remain challenging. Despite these challenges, we continue to remain on course to meet our targets for the full year. On the basis of the positive business development in the first nine months, we're now expecting a solid increase in group pre-tax earnings for the full year. We forecast a slight increase in deliveries in the automotive segment, assuming conditions remain stable. Due to currency translation effects, especially the strong euro, we now expect a slight rather than a solid increase in automobile segment revenues for this year. Despite high upfront investments in future-oriented projects, we remain committed to an EBIT margin of between 8% and 10% in the automotive segment for the full year. Deliveries in the motorcycle segment are expected to increase significantly this year. As in the automotive segment, we are also targeting an EBIT margin within the 8%-10% range for the motorcycle segment. The positive business development in the financial services segment should continue in 2017. Faced with increasing equity capital requirements and normalization in the risk situation, return on equity is expected to decrease slightly. However, it should still remain above our targeted level of 18%. Our forecast assumes that economic and political conditions will not deteriorate significantly. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group is one of the most profitable auto manufacturers in the world. Our financial strength forms the basis for the continued development of cutting-edge technologies. Our claim to leadership in the premium segment is formulated in our strategy. Sustainable profitability and consistent orientation towards the future are our clear focus, and they go hand in hand. We have made further strategic decisions to secure the future competitiveness of our company. We are one of the leading providers of electrified vehicles worldwide and are continually expanding our e-mobility offering. We're working with strong partners to develop a system for autonomous driving that will set standards in the industry. For us, performance is not just about satisfying customers, it is about exceeding their expectations, and we're systematically optimizing our products and services to do so. With BMW, MINI, Rolls-Royce and BMW Motorrad, we have four strong, highly appealing brands. We are staying the course with the passion to innovate and a clear commitment to our profitability targets. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, we now have time to take your questions. I'd like to ask the colleagues now to provide the technical information for the conference. To remind you, if you'd like to ask a question, press your telephone buttons 0 and 1. Your questions will then be taken in the order received. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker, then please ask your questions using your telephone receiver. Thank you, and a minute for the first question, please. The first question, Stefan Koneck, Börsenzeitung. Good morning. I have two questions. The first one is about your earnings in the third quarter. One reason you stated was you are making provisions for litigation and legal disputes, possible risks. Could you explain what's behind that? The other point, outlook for 2017, you mentioned a solid increase of pre-tax earnings. But what's solid? What does that mean in terms of percentages? Thank you, Mr. Koneck. I think that's a good question to start off with Mr. Peter. Well, let's start with your second question. Solid, in our definition, is between 5 and 10%. Then the other question, the provisions, that's for legal disputes and other procedural risk, litigation risk, which, as I've mentioned, is not related to the antitrust review by the European Commission. And please understand that we cannot comment on ongoing proceedings. Thank you. Next question, please. Markus Fasse, Handelsblatt. Well, good morning, gentlemen. I've also got two questions. One relates to sales in the U.S. If I've understood it correctly, this has been going in the second year that you've had a minus, and I wanted to know what the reason for this is. There's always been talk about you have too few SUVs. Were you able to remedy that? Because now you've relocated the X3 and you have built up additional capacities for the U.S. market. Will that be enough, or do you have to do more? Perhaps you also have to relocate the X5 to China or something. Have you got any plans in that direction? Perhaps you can tell us how you will try to come to terms with that. And then there's a second question. There were reports saying that you're negotiating with Great Wall. Great Wall confirmed it. Seems to be about joint production of MINI in China. Could you tell us what's the status of those talks? What exactly are you planning to do with Great Wall in terms of number of units, volume, and above all, what does that mean for the future direction of MINI and for Great Britain as a location? Well, let's start first, Mr. Peter, and then Mr. Krüger on the US. Peter first. Okay, on China and Mini, especially against the background of the test mandate that's now been confirmed in China, we deem it necessary to also electrify Minis in China. And as you know, to do this, localization will also be necessary. At the moment, we're still at a very early stage, and we're looking into technical feasibility of a cooperation with Great Wall. That's been confirmed, and we haven't reached a point yet where we could actually talk about production and about specific kinds of cooperation. From our point of view, this has no effects on the production site in England, because we've just decided that the first electrified Mini, or the first generation, will be produced in England starting in 2019. And Great Wall, that relates to Mini in China and for China. Then Mr. Krüger, please. Okay, Herr Fasser, perhaps... you know, September sales in the U.S. were 0.7% above the previous year. That's not a huge figure, I know, but in the U.S. we continue to have SUV sales of about 40%. In October, it was slightly lower because now we have the model change from the X3 starting in the second half of November, and a new X3 will also be available with the U.S. dealerships, and that will certainly give us a push forward. The second point that we've also addressed, we're producing the X1, not only in Regensburg, but also in the Netherlands. That means there's more availability here too. Next year, the new X2 will also be coming onto the US market, and the X5 will still be fully available then. And towards the end of 2018, we'll start producing the X7. So if I just look at that, the new X3 fully available next year. We've solved that with the capacities. You've mentioned it. As of the second quarter and in the summer, second quarter South Africa, and in summer next year China, we'll also be producing the X3 there. So for the X3, there'll be three locations worldwide. And with that, we have a much better supply for the market in the US. Now with the X1, we've got two locations, and with the X2, that'll be newly coming into the market. So I guess in the next few months, that will lead to further growth in the US too, after we've left that model change X3 behind us. Next question, please. That's from Elisabeth Behrmann, Bloomberg News. Good morning. I've also got three questions. On your F&E expenses, research and development, what's that look like for the next few years? Could you already tell us as of when a normalization will occur here? And then next question, you mentioned that you're reviewing processes, you want to reduce complexity. Can you already quantify when these efforts will, or what have they already paid off in some way? And then third question, Daimler is in a process of changing their group structures in order to better respond to the well-known future issues. I'd like to know how BMW is positioned here, or do you also feel need to reorganize in some way? Thank you. I assume reviewing processes refers to internal processes at BMW? Okay, right. All three questions will be answered by Mr. Peter. Well, let's start with R&D expenses. We had announced, especially in view of the challenges in the field of electrification and autonomous driving, in the next 3 years at least, we'll have to invest a lot more in R&D than in the previous years. We've got a normalized range of 5 to 5.5%, and in the next 3 years, we'll definitely go above 6, between 6 and 6.5%. But at the same time, and I think that underlines the capabilities of the company, the range of between 8 and 10% margin in the automotive segment will be maintained. The positive effects of our efforts to increase efficiency, and that's something we're doing continuously, this is part of, that's in our genes, and that's already visible in the quarter report now. If you look at the additional R&D expenses this quarter already, that is not fully reflected in the development of the third quarter, but it's overcompensated in a positive way by efficiency on the cost side and also a very sound performance side. The third point, restructuring or reorganization at Daimler. Herr Krüger. Well, I said that in my speech, Mrs. Behrmann, we're becoming a tech company. There's two things I'd like to mention here. To us, speed is important. With FIT's future, we are creating completely new working structures, and with Unterschleißheim, the campus, this is a cooperation platform for autonomous driving with Intel, Mobileye, and other partners. We are cooperating very closely. So speed and cooperation, fast cooperation strategies, all of this is fundamental to us and our future. It's also reflected by the fast charging network that we've set up, and this just goes to show that we are preparing our group to new ways of working, also scrums and things like that. This is a new alignment. It's not just about organization, it's also about the how. How do we do this? How do we cooperate? How are we efficient and fast, and how do we deliver substance? Thank you. Next question, please. Max Hägler, Süddeutsche Zeitung. Good morning. I have two questions with regard to electromobility. The EU Commission will present its mobility package tomorrow, this framework legislation, and the way it looks, this rate, minimum rate for e-cars has been deleted. Now, is that a good development? And what are your demands or expectations to the extent you already know that package? And then CO2, there's the ITCT study that was published yesterday, which said that in reality vehicles have too high fuel consumption, and they are, how do you respond to that criticism? Thank you, Mr. Hägler. Let me just make one comment, perhaps, on the ICCT study. This is not the first study that's been published. This is, meanwhile, the fifth one on that topic, just, you know, to put this in perspective. Herr Krüger, please. Well, let me start with the ICCT study on CO2 consumption of new vehicles. Before we said there is, you know, between real consumption and the approval test, there are differences, which is due to the driving conditions, but also climate, temperature, and so on. This is why in Europe they decided to go for real driving emissions in order to eliminate that difference between cycle test and the actual consumption. And this is now coming with the real driving emissions. That's a new test procedure that we welcome. And if you look at the ICCT report, BMW still has very good results. We've got the best diesels of the world. And in the consumption measurements, demonstrably also with the NOx emissions, we are 40% below the German average with our BMW plants. I think it just goes to show that we're working and we're on the right track. The other topic, the CO2 proposal or the ratio and the mandate in Europe, I'd like to wait for tomorrow and see what's really coming, because we've heard a lot of talk about this. There's two things you could highlight, I think. Building up e-mobility is very important for achieving CO2 emissions, but classic combustion technology is also important. And for setting up e-mobility, it's important to have an infrastructure and to set that up quickly. And I'd like to wait for everything else to see what's really in that publication tomorrow. Thank you. Next question, please. That's Mirko Reibka, Platobrief. Good morning. I have three questions. Herr Krüger, I'd like to know, how do you define leading premium manufacturer if it's no longer your range or the margin? What is that from your point of view, and how satisfied are you with the development of your margin? Then a second question, could you tell us when exactly a solution will be available for car sharing, drive now, and how do you deal with partnerships in that industry in the future? after you've had these issues with the NHS authorities. We've heard that you also got a bit angry about how other manufacturers behaved. And then my last question, I don't know if you're able to tell me, but when will you be able to bring in the harvest? You know, you've made such high investments into e-mobility because at the moment with your combustion engine, you're making much more money. I don't even know whether the purely electric vehicles, whether you're even making money from those. So when do you expect that these high investments or increasing investments will finally pay out? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reipka. We'll start with the definition of given by the member of the Board for Finance, Mr. Peter.
I think what's core is that we need to look at the entire BMW group. We're a group that's focused on premium mobility and associated services, in particular also financial services. And here, with an EBT margin of 11.7% after 9 months, I think we're doing pretty well. So I think we can be quite confident in saying that we're definitely one of the most profitable car manufacturers worldwide. Now, looking at the automobile segment, there's two things that are important to know. Firstly, despite the necessary investments into future technologies such as e-mobility and autonomous driving, we continue to be within our range of between 8 and 10%. And, as you probably know this, the China BBI business is not in the automobile segment, but in that's reflected in the financial results. So that's another aspect that needs to be taken into account.
Thank you, Mr. Krüger.
Well, Mr. Reipka, let's start with the question about the harvest from the high investment in e-mobility. Well, we're already harvesting. We're in phase two. In 2007, we decided that we'll invest into e-mobility, and in 2013, we launched the i3. And in its segment, it's one of the most successful e-cars. Then the i8 is a plug-in hybrid, and with that, plug-in hybrids technology via our i-performance models, and we've also have a mini plug-in hybrid. And as a consequence of that, this year we're a manufacturer that has sold 100,000 electrified vehicles. You'll hardly find anybody else who's done that. 100,000 electrified vehicles. We had a growth of 64% compared to the previous year as of September. September, for the first time, we sold more than 10,000 electrified vehicles. So it's a total of 180,000 electrified vehicles on the road, and we're optimistic that we'll reach the 200,000 pretty fast. And Nicolas Peter already said it. The initiative continues. There'll be further plug-in hybrids launched. There'll be a Mini. There'll be an X3 BEV, the iNEXT. So the investment's already paying off now. And of course, we're working on the next generation. That also requires further investment. And that we're investing into the next generation of electromobilities. With the iNEXT, that's already the fifth generation. So from generation 1 through 4, we're consistently further developing this. We're becoming more competitive. We're making use of cost benefits. We're able to increase the reach for our customers. Second question was about Drive Now or partnerships. Well, I mean, we think about a lot of things, but I don't think we need to have a discussion about anything here today, because we think partnerships are always things, you know, you have a win-win situation. If there is one, then it's worth thinking about, but today I don't want to make any further comments. And the antitrust issue, well, of course we were surprised on the one hand, but then on the other hand, I guess it's part of a corporation that you just continue that on a professional basis.
Next question, please. Irene Preisinger, Reuters.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to ask about the car sharing. Are those discussions still ongoing, or is this part of the surprise and annoyance that you don't want to talk about car sharing with Daimler? And then I'd like to know quite generally, you said that Q3 and Q4, there's a lot of ramp-up cost, a lot of expenditure, but then on the other hand, you're increasing your earnings forecast for the entire year. So can you again tell us what's the main reason? Where does all the money come from? And then price competition. You talked about a balance between sales and discounts or sales and prices. Does that mean you're no longer just fighting based on discounts, or are you reducing your discounts? And then about the antitrust accusations, could you at least give us an impression? I mean, it's been months and months where you've discussed and evaluated this with lawyers. What's your impression here? What's your preliminary assessment of the issue? And my last question about the mini, could you give us just an estimate how much less expensive is it to produce mini in China compared to Great Britain? Okay, I think these were four questions on car sharing and possible ongoing discussions. Let me just give you a piece of information. We will not comment on this. I ask for your understanding. We will not comment on it. So that's a question we cannot answer. Then, Herr Krüger, please. Well, Mrs. Preisinger, to get back to the question, antitrust review and what's our position here, well, we're supporting the European Commission in doing its work. The Commission has so far, and let me emphasize, not initiated formal proceedings against the BMW Group. That's the situation, of course. We're also investigating the matter internally. We've also retained an external law firm, but these events, some of these go way back into history, and this is why it'll take some time. And it needs to be looked into, and it's too early to comment on it. Okay, then there's two questions open, one about Q3, Q4 with the high expenses, and then Great Wall and Mini. I'd like to ask Dr. Peter to answer those. Well, to start with Q3, Q4, and the outlook for the entire year. The positive development of the entire year, that has motivated us to actually increase our guidance. All segments will make a positive contribution to that. Automobile segment, the motorcycles, financial services, all of them will contribute. So what makes us so optimistic despite... And I wouldn't define that in terms of cost only, but it's more like a necessary investment into the future that we need to make. So what makes us optimistic? Well, that's the fact that after 9 months, we're seeing a positive development of 9.6%, and with 11.7% margin, I think we're on the right track. And it's also the full availability of contribution of products that make a strong contribution margin, such as the 5 Series or the X3, which will be launched or is coming into the market. All of this will make a contribution that, you know, helps us. Then concerning your question about whether we'd just do any business, no, definitely not. That's exactly the balance we try to strike, balance between volume and profitability. If you look at the development in the United States and the publicly available data, then you'll see quite clearly that, yes, the volume is declining slightly, as is the entire market in the US, but you will also see that the discounts per vehicle with us are also on the decline. So we've got a very balanced position. And the same goes for the UK. At the moment, we're about to see what the consequences are of the entire Brexit discussion. And thanks to our flexible production network, we're able to shift production very quickly from one market to the other. Now, about China and Mini, well, this is not so much about the cost benefits. It's very clearly about the following. In order to remain competitive in China, we need to localize products there step by step. We've done that on the BMW side, and now this is the first step with the Mini brand. But we've definitely not reached the point yet where we can say, yes, this will exactly be as the media report. No. Currently, we're analyzing technical feasibility, but the background is above all the necessity of localizing products in China to be competitive and to fill the ITF mandate requirements.
Thank you. Next question, please.
That's from Gabriel Wirth, Bayerischer Rundfunk.
I've got a couple of questions. Growth in the third quarter has slowed down compared to the first two quarters. That's revenues and earnings. I don't think that's related to R&D expenses. What are the reasons for that? Then I wanted to know, until when do you want to return to the top of premium manufacturers league? And then a third question relating to how your sales develop in premium.
Well, let's start with the diesel sales. There's three things. Worldwide, the sale of diesel vehicles dropped from 37% to 32% compared to the previous year. In Europe, from about 73% to 68%, and in Germany, from 65% to 60%. So that's the diesel mix compared to 1 year ago. Then you asked about growth in Q3 compared to the previous quarters. There are three aspects you need to take into account. To start with, in China, in Q2, end of Q2, going into Q3, we had a model change with the new 5 Series long wheelbase. It wasn't fully available yet, and that accounts for a lot of growth. And the 5 Series, the sedan, the short wheelbase, was made available to the world markets in the spring, but in China, the long wheelbase, that was end of Q2 going into Q3, and we're still ramping it up. Then the second thing is the X3 being phased out in Q2, and it'll be newly be going into the market in Q3, the world markets such as US, for example. And then there's also markets that have become slightly more difficult, the UK, for example. If you look at the market in the UK, and if you look at what happened in Q3 in the overall market, then in the UK, in that market, you'll also see that growth has decreased. It's in fact negative at this point. And there's a certain degree of uncertainty among customers as far as the political situation is concerned. So this is how this is composed. And the last point is in Q4, this will go again in the other direction, because some of the new models, the X3, the 6 Series Gran Turismo, the 5 Series long wheelbase in China, in Q4, they will all be available starting middle of November, and in Q3 they were not available.
Dr. Peter, and something you'd like to add here?
Yeah, Herbert, on your question about when we think we'll be back to top of the league of premium sellers. Well, our strategy number one next defines the number one position as market share development, profitability, and innovation strength. The fact that our expenses or our investment into R&D has been significantly increased supports our innovative strength. At the same time, we remain in our profitability range of 8 to 10%. And if you look at the group, we stand at more than 11%. And we're definitely one of the most profitable manufacturers. And we are growing in a difficult market environment with our BMW Mini and Rolls-Royce brands in 2017. I think it's all these three factors that underline that we're definitely at the top of the premium segment. Let me add something here. What counts for us is also being an attractive employer. That's part of being number one. Do we find the right people that want to work for us? And undisputedly, we're number one here. We're a very attractive employer. And for 2017, achieving the target of 100,000 electrified vehicles, that's also something that counts. It's the growth curve of electrified vehicles. To us, that's an important parameter.
Thank you. We've got time to take one more question.
Michael Watzke, Deutschlandradio.
Good morning. Got two questions. One is about the recalls in the U.S. Could you briefly talk about the reasons and also the costs? And then in that context, you're saying there's provisions
for litigation risk. Well, if that's not related to the antitrust issue, is that related to the fact that there were some accidents and things? Is there a litigation risk you're fearing in the U.S.? And then about e-diesel. The diesel retrofitting, has that already started? And how many diesel vehicles have you already upgraded? Thank you. Let's start with the recalls in the U.S., Mr. Krüger. Okay, what are the reasons? There were two recalls. One of them concerned BMW 3 Series models between 2.6 and 2.11. And the problem here, or the risk, was of it's a wiring problem in the ventilation system. There could be corrosion and a possible melting of wires. So that's the one recall. And the second one was a voluntary recall on relating to six-cylinder engines, model years 2007 to 2011, related to wiring in the crankcase. So these are vehicles that are slightly older, and we had taken care of these matters in cooperation with the authorities. You also asked whether the provisions are related to that recall. They are not, because the provisions in Q3 that were made are essentially related to patent issues and supplier issues, but not the recall in the U.S. Okay, and then you asked about the diesel retrofittings or upgrades. What we started now is the software development. And let me get two things straight. With BMW, we're only talking about the Euro 5 diesels. We're not calling anything up, and we're not upgrading software for the Euro 6 diesels, because these diesels are so good that they don't require any upgrade. With the Euro 5 diesels, we want to expand the temperature window based on our experience, and at the moment software development is in progress, and in Q2 or middle of 2018, I guess we can do the upgrades. But first we've got to develop the software. The software then needs to be approved or homologized, and then we can make it available to the customers. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Krüger. Thank you, Mr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your questions, and we're now ending the telephone conference. Thank you and goodbye.